From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of his third message in a series of studies in the Law of God. This week, Dr. Cairns has been examining the spirituality of God's law. We've seen that the law of God is spiritual in its searching of the soul. It deals with the innermost aspects of the human condition, the sinfulness of every soul in its motives, thoughts, and actions, showing the futility of mere external religion. Furthermore, God's law is spiritual in the scope of its statutes. Although the statements of the law are clear enough, there is more to what God requires than a simple list of do's and don'ts. Again, God's law is spiritual in the strictness of its standards. What God requires is absolute and total obedience. Then the law is spiritual in the satisfaction of its sentence. God declares, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." But thank God there is a remedy for this dilemma. It is found in the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as Paul wrote, was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the conclusion of this message called The Spirituality of the Law. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 8. He arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. All the strength supplied to us by our gracious God is meant for service, not for wantonness or boasting. When the prophet Elijah found the cake baked on the coals and the cruse of water placed at his head as he lay under the juniper tree, he was no gentleman to be gratified with dainty fare that he might stretch himself at his ease. Far otherwise, he was commissioned to go 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of it, journeying towards Horeb, the Mount of God. When the Master invited the disciples to come and dine with him, after the feast was concluded, he said to Peter, "Feed my sheep," further adding, "Follow me." Even thus it is with us. We eat the bread of heaven, that we may expend our strength in the Master's service. We come to the Passover and eat of the Paschal Lamb, with loins girt and staff in hand, so as to start off at once when we have satisfied our hunger. Some Christians are for living on Christ, but are not so anxious to live for Christ. Earth should be a preparation for heaven, and heaven is the place where saints feast most and work most. They sit down at the table of our Lord, and they serve him day and night in his temple. They eat of heavenly food and render perfect service. Believer, in the strength you daily gain from Christ, labor for him. Some of us have yet to learn much concerning the design of our Lord in giving us his grace. We are not to retain the precious grains of truth, as the Egyptian mummy held the wheat for ages, without giving it an opportunity to grow. We must sow it and water it. Why does the Lord send down the rain upon the thirsty earth and give the genial sunshine? Is it not that these may all help the fruits of the earth to yield food for man? Even so, the Lord feeds and refreshes our souls, that we may afterwards use our renewed strength in the promotion of his glory.
Thank you.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the LTBSradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
What is the sanction of the law? The whole man being cast into hell. Can that be the teaching of him whose name is love? It's a very solemn thing. If you take all that the Bible teaches on hell, the Lord Jesus spoke more of hell than all the other New Testament preachers put together. There's wisdom in that. Because while all Scripture is inspired, I think human nature would rebel against such an awful teaching, except in the lips of the God-man himself. What is the sanction of the law? Sometimes it is temporal. Sin finds people out in their body. It finds them out in their family. It finds them out often in their children. It finds them out in their business. It finds them out in broken lives and broken minds and broken hearts. But whether it does these things or no, it finds them out in the torments of a lost eternity. Hell is real. Hell is real. It's not the figment of some priestly imagination. It is the revelation of the God of truth. The law is spiritual in the sentence that it demands for its satisfaction. You know, if that were all the message of the law of God, it would be bleak indeed. And if you have felt something of the bleakness and the terror and the awfulness of the spirituality of God's law, I thank God for it. For it is a bleak and terrible truth unless you grasp one last theme here. There is an additional theme. The law declares its spirituality not only by executing an eternal justice on the sinner, but by receiving a vicarious or substitutionary obedience from Christ for all believers. The law is spiritual because it is, if I could personify it, it is willing to receive from Christ a perfect obedience, a perfect satisfaction, and make a gift of that to every believer. Galatians 3:13 puts it this way: Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. This morning we thought a little of the work of the cross. Here is the inner meaning of Calvary. On that center cross and the preternatural darkness of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ hung there a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. He had lived a life of perfect obedience to the precept of God's law, and now he dies a death to satisfy the penalty of that law. There in Calvary's darkness, Jehovah took the glittering sword of the justice of God's law and he thrust it into Christ. The Lord Jesus took the pain and the wrath and the alienation that was the sinner's due. He took all that the wrath of God could pour upon him, and in the words of one poet, in one almighty draught, he drank damnation dry. The law of God received from Christ a vicarious satisfaction for all believers. Paul puts it this way: by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. By Adam's fall, we were constituted sinners, and we have lived in sin, and we die in sin, and in Adam we must be damned in sin. But oh, here's the gospel. Even so, by the righteousness of one, namely Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. What a glorious gospel this is. Once again, as we have seen in the first couple of studies, the message of the law leads us to Christ. As I thought of this, I realized Christ bore the scrutiny of the law. That searchlight of the law of God searched through the actions of Christ, the thoughts of Christ, the feelings of Christ, the very soul of Christ. He bore the scrutiny of God's law, and the law found nothing but sinless perfection. He obeyed the statutes of God's law. He fulfilled the strictest standards of God's law. And then he suffered the fullness of the sentence of God's law. And here in Christ is God's one way of salvation. Romans 4 verse 5 has an amazing statement. To him that worketh not. I love that. How could God say to a sinner as vile and filthy as you or I, if you do this or that, you'll get to heaven? What can I do but sin? Everything that I do is tinged with my sinfulness, my sinful nature, my imperfection. The holiest thing I have ever felt or thought is yet riddled with the wickedness and the depravity of my own being. How could I ever have any hope if God said, "Do this and live"? I must be damned irretrievably in hell. But all the gospel is to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth, listen, the ungodly. My mind boggles at those words. The holy God of absolute perfection justifies the ungodly. And when he does so, he counts his faith for righteousness, or as Paul interprets that, he imputes to that man the absolute righteousness of Christ. That's the gospel. God justifies sinners, not by lowering the standards of the law, but by fulfilling them. He justifies the ungodly legally. How does he do it? By the righteousness of Christ. How do you receive that? By faith without works. I said at the beginning, if you have never begun to feel the reality and wickedness of sin, you need to stand in two places. And I have sought with all I can, with all the mental and physical energy of which I am capable, I have sought tonight to make you stand in those two places. At Mount Sinai, to hear the thunder of the law's proclamation, and at Mount Calvary, to see the evidence of the law's penalty, and to know the sole and single way of grace. If tonight, at Mount Sinai, you stand convicted of sin, I pray, God, you'll stand in the shadow of that cross. You'll lift your eyes to that Christ, and you'll cry, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Justify me, the ungodly, by faith in Christ." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we stand before Thee tonight with nothing hidden. Our works, our words, our thoughts, our feelings, our very souls. We stand before Thee tonight, in Adam condemned as sinners, wicked, vile, and unclean. There is no hiding place. There is no excuse. But, O God, we would hasten to Calvary. Tonight, we thank Thee for that rock of ages cleft for me. And our prayer would be, let me hide myself in Thee. Our God, we know no hiding place but Christ. Oh, we pray that Thou wilt teach Christians tonight just how full and glorious is their justification. And Lord, speak to those who have had light views of sin. Speak to young people in this meeting, aye, and older people too, who are going through life with little conviction of sin and little shame for their wickedness before God. Oh, God, convict the lost of sin this evening. And as they stand convicted and condemned, Lord, bring them to Calvary. Great God of wonders, do this wondrous work of saving grace. O God in mercy, bring the lost to the Lord Jesus. Father in heaven, answer prayer. Give fruit for the preaching of Thy word. We expect Thee to do that, for Thou hast said, Thy word shall not return unto Thee void. Hear our prayer, part us with Thy blessing. Keep us in Thy fear. Let us who know Thee live in the fullness and the joy of our justification. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.